Hello, it's Farali Junsevi. I'm your host, Azaya Kuya. Welcome to today's episode of the Azaya Kuya podcast. In today's episode, you guys are going to hear me reflect on the first two words of the seven words on the cross. 2 months ago, on Friday, I was asked by my church, the Welcome Missionary Baptist Church, to reflect on the first two words, which was spoken by Jesus during his crucifixion on the cross of Calvary. So I ask you guys to kindly listen to my reflection. Thank you.
Coming out of the book of Luke, the brother Isaiah, he'll be doing Luke 23 and 34 and 23 and 43. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Isaiah.
In Jesus' mighty precious name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Good afternoon, church, and happy Good Friday.
Amen.
As we observe the crucifixion of the crucifixion, the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today, I am particularly grateful for this opportunity to reflect on the profound moment in history. But as I draw a weird comparison across time, notable figures in history have left behind some sort of last memorable comparisons. I mean, last memorable words before their death. You know, people like Julius Caesar, Winston Churchill, people like Leonardo da Vinci, and people like Steve Jobs, before their death, they usually leave an everlasting memory.
That's right.
They usually make some statement before their passing, all right? But today, I do not want to draw a weird parallel between our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and those geniuses who came to this world, like Julius Caesar, Leonardo da Vinci, and etc. So, for instance, upon realizing that he was being assassinated, Julius Caesar uttered these words. He said, in Latin, he said, "Et tu, Brute," all right? In English, that can be translated to, "And you too, Brutus." So he realized that his best friend, Brutus, was in the midst of the senators who assassinated him in ancient Rome. And so as soon as he realized that all those senators were trying to assassinate him, he looked at his friend and said, "Et tu, Brute, and you too, see, and you too, Brutus." He was so disheartened by the fact that his own best friend could assassinate him or could conspire with the other senators to assassinate him. All right? So how could Brutus even betray his own best friend? This is a question that has echoed in history for centuries. All right? But today, my main focus is not to dwell in the history books, but to talk about Jesus, all right? To turn our attention to a pivotal moment in history, especially in the holy city of Jerusalem.
Amen.
It was an early morning after enduring 6 long hours of excruciating pain. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ mustered the divine courage to utter these powerful 7 words on the cross before his death,
Amen.
Which has stood the test of time. All right? So the first of these words is found in Luke 23, 34, sorry, and the second is found in Luke 23, 43. So today I'm going to be reflecting on these words, on the first two words of the 7 words of the words of the cross. All right? So in Luke 23, 34, I'm going to start from 33 first, to be clear. When they came to the place called the Skull, There they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and one on the left. 34. And Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty precious name, just imagine you are being crucified on the cross and you have a guy right here, a criminal on your left side and a criminal on your right side. Mm. And there's a crowd of people taunting and mocking you. But yet Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. That is an indelible act of courage, of love, of peace and mercy, all right, of forgiveness. So this statement has several meaningful themes and interpretation to many different people and different Christians' denominations around the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, even so, the underlying theme of this statement is love, forgiveness, and divine mercy.
Amen.
As believers, we only need to understand the value of love,
yes.
All right? To actually grasp the weight of this particular statement that he uttered. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So, as believers, we need to understand love in its purest forms and interpretations, first of all, in order to completely grasp the weight of his words. So, therefore, one who asks, what is love? What is actually indeed love? Is it just buying gifts and presents for your significant other? Is that actually love?
Mm-hmm.
I say no to that. So what is indeed love? If you consult several different dictionaries, you're going to find that love is a feeling of affection that you have for someone or something. But that particular definition doesn't work well in the things of God. It doesn't work well as Christians, as believers, because that particular word includes action.
Mm.
If you say you love someone, something, and you have an undeniable feeling of affection for someone, something, you have to include action.
Yes.
All right?
Amen.
So, love is an unmerited, unconditional feeling of attraction for not just someone but also something, but that is fueled by what action, like I said earlier, right? That's why John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So God is a master of his own word. If he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And that's why he decided to sacrifice his own son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because he believed in action. He believed in love. That's why St. John says God loved the world so dearly. That's why he gave his only begotten son. And if we all believe in Jesus Christ, we should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty precious name.
Amen.
Where love comes from forgiveness and mercy, and mercy is an unmerited favor and grace from God. So love conquers all things. So if we had to take one idea from this particular words, or the first one that Jesus said, is one, love, mercy, and forgiveness. All right? So now I'm going to the second one that Jesus said on the cross. So I'm going to read from Luke 23:39. First, he said, one of the criminals who had been hanged on the cross beside him kept, tormenting him, hurling curse words at him, and saying, are you not Christ? Save yourself from death. So he was just provoking Jesus because he was on the other side. And he was like, I thought you are the Son of God. I thought you are Jesus Christ. Why can you save yourself from this calamity right now? So, but the other one rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God?" It was the other criminal who said, "Do you not fear God?" All right? So he said, "Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, for the one, we are suffering justly because we are getting what we deserve for what we have done." So the other criminal was basically confessing his sin. And while the other criminal was basically just provoking Jesus, all right, while he was enduring excruciating pain on the cross. But this man has done nothing wrong. That was the other criminal, right? And he was saying, "Jesus, please remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, this is the second word, all right, that Jesus said on the cross, "I assure you and most solemnly say to you, today you will be with me in paradise," in Jesus' mighty precious name. So he said, "I assure you and most solemnly today, say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." So basically Jesus immediately forgave his sin and promised him everlasting life. Not just on earth, but also in paradise with our Father. Like the first was, this thing has many interpretations. Like the first word Jesus said on the cross. This one too has many interpretations. But the overall universal theme would include 3 points. The promise of salvation is one. The promise of divine mercy is two. And lastly, the promise of hope and comfort. So we're going to start first with the promise of salvation, right? The promise of salvation and forgiveness to the repentant criminal. That's where the criminal passed, and since Jesus has shown him that he would be with him in paradise. So basically, let's just attribute this particular statement to us as believers, right? Despite our sins, despite our crooked way sometimes, we should ask for forgiveness first of all, and we should confess our sin to the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, and he is faithful and just to forgive us. And the second point would be the promise of divine mercy, all right? Jesus' boundless mercy and grace, as it is, as he extends forgiveness and salvation to a repentant criminal in his final moments, it underscores the central message of Christianity, that true faith in Jesus, even the most undeserving, can receive redemption and eternal life. And St. John was equally right when he says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, like I said earlier, all right, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Amen. And so finally, the last point is the promise of hope and comfort. For believers, this statement offers hope and comfort, affirming the assurance of salvation and the promise of being united with Jesus in paradise after death. It serves as a reminder of God's love, mercy, and the transformative power of faith. All right? Amen. So, in conclusion, these two words that were said by Jesus on the cross, they embody the essence of Christian faith, love, forgiveness, and divine mercy. Amen. And finally, the promise of salvation. They remind us also of God's boundless love and grace, inviting us to embrace repentance, forgiveness, and a renewed hope in Him. I just want to take this time to say thank you all for allowing me the opportunity to reflect on these words and also to reflect on a pivotal moment in history where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ were crucified on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Good job, son. Again, we want to thank Brother Isaac. Let's give him another hand, please. My brother spoke on love and forgiveness. And some of the key points he brought out was salvation,
yes,
mercy, and hope. Our God is all of that.
Yeah,
and then some. Because he still loves us.